Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Sirojo Green on this Monday, January 11th, 2016, as we discuss the world of sports. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to Instagram and follow me at Willow Gerald Quinn. A lot to do in this abbreviated edition of the program. We're going 45 minutes tonight as we begin with the national championship, which is about less than an hour away, as Alabama looks for title number 4 in 7 years. Clemson looking for their first championship since the Danny Ford days back in 81. And just a game that college football absolutely needs to cap off its season. College football needs this game in the worst way to be a great game, if not a classic, considering just how awful the bowl games have been and were. This is a game that, if you're college football, again, you are rooting for a high level, hotly contested, maybe even an overtime type deal with these two teams, and you might get it. These are two evenly matched teams, the two best teams in the country. I think Clemson is getting shortchanged, to be honest with you. And I'm not just talking about just being a 7-point underdog. That's not, touchdown underdog, Alabama with the championship pedigree. But, if anybody has watched Clemson this year, they should know that Clemson is Alabama-like in terms of how they play. They are not going to be pushed around by anybody on either the offensive or defensive line. The offensive line is tremendous. They can run the ball on anybody, and the defensive line gets to the quarterback, just like Alabama's. And again, this is a rare matchup that you get where, in essence, history is on the line, as far as I'm concerned. Clemson, if Alabama wins, they'll do something that hasn't been done since the 40s, and that's when a fourth championship in a seven-year span. Again, that hasn't been done since the 40s with Notre Dame. Clemson wins, they will completely be able to separate themselves out. First of all, they'll be the first team ever to go 15-0 in the season. The second thing is they will be completely out of the shadows of one Florida State in the ACC conference. And they will be able to look Florida State eye to eye and say, "Hey, there's no more. It's Florida State and everybody else in their conference. Or we are 1-1A right now with a second championship. And that's a big deal in the conference. That's absolutely a big deal because SEC is Alabama and everybody else." Pac-12 for years has been USC and everybody else. Oklahoma, Big 12, and everybody else. ACC, Clemson wins this game. They can look Florida State eye to eye. So a lot at stake with this national championship. Again, I think it's going to be a great game. I think I like Clemson in this game. I just think Clemson has everything in terms of matchups that can bother Alabama. They have the dual purpose quarterback that can run for 100 yards and throw for 300. They have, to me, more importantly, they're not going to be pushed around on both lines of scrimmage on either the offensive or defensive side of the ball. They're not. Alabama can physically overwhelm you. Physically, they really can. With their running game and with their pass rush. They led the nation this year with over 50 sacks. That's not going to happen with Clemson. And again, don't you know, Alabama has played in probably more big games than any team in the country over the last, in the Nick Saban era. So basically since 2008, when they made their first championship run, even though they lost to Florida in the SEC championship, that was the first year that they were a championship caliber team. Played in more big games than any team. And normally, especially in regular season games, and you can even say in the championship game against Notre Dame, they overwhelm people. They overwhelm people because they are used to that moment, that moment of truth that other teams just, you know, cower under, and the bright lights get to them. It's not going to be the case with Clemson. This is a Clemson team that has taken down some heavy hitters in the past 3 to 4 years. They've taken out Oklahoma twice. They've taken out Ohio State. They've taken out LSU. You know, this is a Clemson team, a program now that has won 10 or more games 5 straight years. Clemson will not be intimidated, not in the least bit, by Alabama. If anything, they're going to have a chip on their shoulder with all the SEC talk. And remember, Alabama, these group of players have not played in a national championship. The majority of these players. Alabama hasn't been in a championship game since the 2012 season. That was 3 years ago. So I don't think this is a situation where, in the past, you know, Alabama had a clear, distinct advantage over other teams because of their championship pedigree, especially over Notre Dame and LSU in 2000 when they went back to back against LSU and Notre Dame, especially Notre Dame. They had a just distinct advantage over Notre Dame in that particular game. That will not be the case going up against Clemson. I think Clemson has a little magic going with him. Has a little magic to him. I really do. I think Clemson, again, they're going to play the no respect card, which is fine. If they want to do that, that's their choice. Even though they've been number one for basically the majority of the season, or at least since the college rankings came out in that late October. I think it was October 31st. So you know they can play the respect card, the no respect card. That's fine. Again, these teams are, to me, evenly matched. And I think the difference in this game is Deshaun Watson. I think he's the difference. Look at who Alabama has struggled with over in the Nick Saban era. You know, guys like Nick Marshall, Cam Newton, you know, Stephen Garcia. Even this year with, you know, Chad Kelly. Mobile quarterbacks who can move. Dobbs from Tennessee. And on top of it, Clemson has an offensive and defensive line that can match Alabama's. No team in the country can say that. And to be honest with you, I don't think there's been a team in the Nick Saban era that has had all three parts. The great dual quarterback and the great offensive defensive line. I think LSU had both. You know, I think LSU has had great offensive and defensive lines, and especially defense that can match up with Alabama as far as NFL and pro type talent. But they haven't had that dual threat quarterback that can match Alabama. Haven't had that, especially not a player as good as Deshaun Watson. You could certainly make it. You should could have made a case. Could have been the Heisman Trophy winner this year. He was that good. Best player on the undefeated team. Could have won the Heisman. So, again, looking forward to it, 8:30. Of course, ESPN is going to have the game on about 20 different networks. Like, you know, listen, nobody's going to watch ESPN film room, ESPN, you know, overhead camera. I mean, ESPN just, ESPN, you know, whatever. Like, nobody's going to watch the game on 10 different channels. People are going to watch the game and on, you know, on one channel and leave it at that. Like, you know what, you know, Spider Cam, they got all this nonsense ESPN has. ESPN has to always go just over the top with some of the stuff they try to do from a technological standpoint. It's ridiculous. It really is. But that's what ESPN does. They just absolutely cannot help themselves. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, no, we didn't like that. If you're a Redskins fan, we'll talk about the wild card games and much, much more in this latest edition of 7-Eleven Sports Talk featuring Surreal Joe Quinn. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this last edition of Trouble in Sports Talk. Feature Cyril Joe Quinn, of course, national championship tonight, Alabama, Clemson. Clemson trying to cap off a perfect 15-0 season. First team to be the first team in college football history to win 15 games. Alabama looking for championship number four and seven, their fourth in 7 years, their 11th overall. And, 11th overall. And they claim about 20. And, of course, number five for one Nick Saban, who would inch one championship, who if he did win five championships, would be just one shy of the great and legendary Bear Bryant, who won six championships during his time as the head coach of Alabama. And Saban's done, Bryant won six championships in 25 years. Saban would have five in 9 years. So he is on a run that basically we haven't ever seen in the history of college football. And, again, has no signs whatsoever of slowing down. I mean, this guy gets number one recruits year in, year out. That is a absolute machine he has going right now in terms of the Alabama Crimson Tide. We're going to get back to the Alabama Clemson game, but of course you had NFL action yesterday afternoon into the evening. Minnesota losing a heartbreaking game to the Seattle Seahawks, who should consider themselves extremely fortunate. I mean, extremely fortunate to be playing next week. I thought Minnesota deserved to win the game. I understand what you're saying, what you're talking about. Seattle held Minnesota under 200 yards of offense, 183 yards of offense. The game plan for Minnesota was flawless as far as keeping that game low scoring. They controlled the Seattle running game. They made Russell Wilson basically almost as close as you can make to making him a non-factor compared to what he had been doing the prior basically 5 to 6 weeks. He had 142 yards passing, had a touchdown, had one interception, made a couple crazy Russell Wilson plays, especially that one to Lockett on the bad snap. But otherwise, I thought Minnesota defense played great, and they really deserved to win that game. Both defenses played great. That was a physical game. If you're Minnesota, I would like them to give Teddy Bridgewater more control, to be honest with you. Adrian Peterson was a non-factor because he had one outside of the missed field goal. He had the biggest play in the game with the fumble. Having Minnesota been up 9-7, the ball at the 40-yard line after Adrian Peterson caught an 8-yard pass from Bridgewater and fumbles the football, gets stripped and fumbles the football, which led to the game, basically the game-winning points for Seattle. You know, two guys that you hear enough over, that you hear about, and two guys that get shoved down your throat over and over again are J.J. Watt and Adrian Peterson. Now, both of them will be in the Hall of Fame someday. Both of them, you can make a case, are the best at their particular, best defensive player, best running back. You can certainly make that case. But both guys, especially with Adrian Peterson, you know, they get shoved down your throat, and then they have plays like he had yesterday. You're an all-time running back. You cannot fumble that football, period. You can't fumble that football. That was, again, outside of the kick that, kick heard around Minneapolis and Minnesota. That was the biggest play of the game, easily the biggest play of the game. Again, I know Peterson's hard to root for, but, the situation that happened off the field with his son, I understand he's hard to root for, but you can't deny what this guy has done in his time in the NFL. He's been the best running back in football since he came into the league. He's been that great of a player. And certainly will go down as one of the great running backs of all time. But with that being said, he puts the ball on the ground way too much. Big fumbles in critical situations. Had one in Green Bay earlier that helped give Green Bay the game. Not give Green Bay the game, but that was a big fumble. That was a big play in that game with Green Bay the first time they met. He just fumbles too much to be that level of a running back. It's ridiculous. If you're a Minnesota fan, I'm telling you, the team would be better off. This might sound like blasphemy for Minnesota, but they would be better off once Peterson has moved on. They really will be. Especially for the cap number that he has right now. He's getting paid like a star quarterback. So you think about it, what have you won with Adrian Peterson being, the face of your franchise? What have you won? Got to the playoffs a couple times and been one and done in both cases. So that is a brutal loss for Minnesota, brutal loss. They absolutely deserve to win that game. As far as the second game, if you needed any reminder, you saw why Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. Green Bay, for the better part of the last 7 to 8 weeks, couldn't block anybody. Receivers couldn't get open. Yesterday they did. They blocked the Redskins, and the receivers made plays, and the receivers got separation. And you saw what happened, what that looks like when that happens. They put up 35 points and completely, especially in the second half, control both lines of scrimmage with their offensive and defensive line. They knocked Cousins around. They took 6 sacks. Could have been even worse. And ran the ball down the Redskins' throat in the second half to 124 of the 141 rushing yards they had. Am I convinced that Green Bay is back? No. Because you beat a Redskins team that that overachieves, and let's be honest, overachieved considering their talent level and got the most and then some out of what they had, as far as talent goes. That team, Redskins went as far as they were going to go. But again, if you need it as a reminder, Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers. Period. He's still Aaron Rodgers. From a Redskin perspective, listen, I told you a lot today about a couple of things about missed opportunity. Who knows when we're going to make it here again. I can't treat this like 2007, 2005, and 2012. The stability, the infrastructure of the Redskins right now is as good as it has been in the last 15 years, or the last 20 years. You have a football guy, McLuhan, who knows what he's doing, an owner in Daniel Snyder, who's allowing McLuhan to do what he does and make football decisions. You'll have a coach in his third year. They have stability within that organization, and that's something they haven't had since the first 10 years of Joe Gibbs. Okay? So I'm not going to be the Redskin pessimist and say, oh, well, I don't know. Maybe do a chance to get to the Super Bowl, which it didn't. This was not a Super Bowl team. It wasn't even a conference championship team. They would have got destroyed by Arizona next week. That's why I was rooting so hard for Minnesota to win. So the way I saw it, the Redskins, the perfect scenario I had mapped out in my mind, which wasn't going to happen, but, it's okay to dream, was the Redskins beat Green Bay. Minnesota beats Seattle, okay? Minnesota beats Seattle. The Redskins, play Carolina, and Minnesota somehow upsets Arizona and plays Minnesota in the NFC. The Redskins host Minnesota. Well, not host Minnesota, but plays Minnesota in the NFC Championship. But that wasn't, the pipe dream. Wasn't going to happen. But again, if you're a Redskins fan, you can't be complaining right there. You can't. Nobody, we said this yesterday, nobody expected them to get this far. No one, not even a diehard Redskins fan would expect them to get this far, gotten this far. And I mentioned on the program yesterday, I said, listen, be greedy. don't be satisfied just to be in a wild card game and have a home field. And I don't think they were. I think the Redskins were greedy. I think the Redskins went out their way to try to win that game. I think the Redskins weren't just happy to be there. They jumped out 11-0. Now, it should have been 16-0, but that's another story. But they played to win. I mean, they went in there. They didn't go in with just, okay, we're happy to be here mentality. I didn't see that at all. And that's what I was looking for yesterday in terms of that game. They jumped out, hit Green Bay in the mouth, but just didn't hit them hard enough. And I tweeted a couple of minutes ago, and I've said this, and you heard me go, you know, blow a gasket on a couple weeks ago about DeSean Jackson with Chad Quinn and Rob Sapp on the joining me on the program. I had enough of DeSean Jackson. Like, I'm glad his contract is up. He's gonna have a cap number, I think, it's somewhere 9.2 million, 9.4 million. Cut loose with him. Cut loose. I mean, the bottom line, it's actually time for the Redskins to cut loose with this guy. I mean, the idea that you are inches away from the goal line and don't stick the ball out so you can score a touchdown, and it's a long list of just boneheaded, mind-boggling plays that this guy's made. Don't tell me you can't replace him. Please. He's not, like, first of all, you're paying him like a number one receiver. He's probably your number three receiver based on who gets the targets and who Kirk Cousins looks for. You have your number one receiver. His name is Jordan Reed, who is the best tight end in football, not named Rob Gronkowski. He was great yesterday. But Jordan Reed was unbelievable yesterday. I mean, that guy has a chance to be the best tight end in football before it's said and done. He's that good. So there's no matchup for him. He's your number one guy right now. You can build your receiving core around Jordan Reed, period. You don't need DeSean Jackson. Anybody thinks they need DeSean Jackson is just not paying attention. So I think it's time for the Redskins to move on with him. Of course, I'll get more in depth into it. I'll talk more about that over the course of the upcoming weeks as the, you know, season, kind of let the season just, you know, catch my breath here as a Redskins fan. You know, it's when the season ends like that, it's tough to deal with losing a home playoff game. But again, the Redskins went as far as they were going to go. They weren't going any farther than that. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk, featuring Samuel Gerald Quinn. We will have a couple headlines when we return on this latest edition, this Bowl Championship Series edition, National Championship Series edition of 1211 Sports Talk, featuring Samuel Gerald Quinn, Alabama Clemson, coming up in about 37 minutes. We'll be right back. Is your call number. A couple of sporting notes and headlines. Vontaze Burfict is going to be suspended for the first three games of next season, as expected, coming off with that hit they had on Antonio Brown. And how about Pac-Man Jones claiming that Antonio Brown was faking on the hit? I'm like, Pac-Man, did you see the guy was knocked out cold? Like, what are you talking about? I mean, he was knocked out cold. He was faking. He was faking. He was faking. He flopped. And you're like, I mean, please. I mean, this one thing, listen, Pac-Man has a legitimate gripe with the call on himself and Joey Porter with that situation. That is legit. Joey Porter should not have been on the field, and the second flag should not have been thrown. But that hit on Antonio Brown. I mean, Antonio Brown, I doubt Antonio Brown will play. I mean, he might not play against Denver. He's still going to do the concussion protocol. me, please. She's like, I was faking. Faking, please. Tom Crawford interviews for the San Francisco job. I'm not sure that the Philadelphia job was an official interview, but this San Francisco job is. If you're Tom Coughlin, again, I don't understand why you would even entertain taking that job with the lack of stability in that organization right now. And that organization is a disaster. It's an absolute disaster right now. Trent Baalke, those guys don't have a clue what they're doing right now with that organization. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have a coach. The roster is depleted. I wouldn't touch that job with a 30-foot pole. I wouldn't. It's not the bar of those 49ers. I tell you that. And Jim Harbaugh is laughing right now. He's laughing at the state of that franchise, and he should be. Should be laughing. So, again, Coughlin's going to take one of these jobs. He keeps getting interviews and looks. He's going to take one of these jobs because there are a lot of these jobs that are open. Somebody's going to hire Tom Coughlin. I don't know if it's going to be the 49ers, but somebody's going to hire Tom Coughlin. That's what it looks like to me. A report came out earlier this morning that was later refuted by John Calipari that he's demanding $120 million in total control if he's going to become the coach of the Brooklyn Nets, who, of course, yesterday dismissed Lionel Hollins and reassigned Billy King. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't see anybody making up that report. I clearly could see Calipari leaking that. I don't see that number and that piece of information being just somebody just making that up. John Calipari is a college coach. Okay? I wouldn't touch John Calipari in a million years. Forget about giving him control like Jeff Van Gundy, excuse me, Stan Van Gundy power. I'm not allowing him to coach my franchise if I'm in the NBA. John Calipari, been in Kentucky now where this is his seventh year, seventh year, came in 09-10 season, has won national championship and has had the best talent in college basketball for 7 years running. 18 first-round picks, 3 number one draft picks. I mean, this guy has had the best talent, period, in college basketball and has won championship to show for it. One. He is a college coach, okay? It's like the idea that pros are going to flock to him because he somehow relates to today's player or with the recruiting that he's been able to do. No. A free agent is not going to play with John Calipari. The free agent is going to go where the money's at. And that organization with Pokorov on it, the Brooklyn Nets that organization is a train wreck. It's a train wreck. As a prospective college coach who had a chance coaching the NBA, there's no way in the world that I would even entertain dealing with that organization or coaching or general managing that organization. With that owner. There's no way. But again, getting back to Calipari. Calipari, he's a definition. He's Bob Stoops. He is Bob Stoops like. He's going to have a great guarded college record, but never should sniff the polls. Never. Should never sniff the polls. And again, I don't understand why anybody would even entertain giving Calipari that type of control based on what he had when he was done in college and based on what he didn't do his first go around in the NBA with the Nets when they were in New Jersey. So, again, there'll be a team in the NBA, though, because there's always one dummy that hires Calipari. I don't think he'll ever get that full control. I don't think that's going to happen. But there'll be somebody that hires him. I wouldn't touch Calipari if I were an NBA team. He's not an NBA coach. He's not. Like, like Nick Saban, you know, Nick Saban has won, and there's less of a room for error for football than there is for basketball because there are more games in basketball. So you can lose four or five games and still get to the Final Four national championship. Nick Saban, in his tenure, in 9 years, everybody says, well, he has the best talent. He's winning championships with that talent. Okay? Again, a chance for four championships in 7 years and went back to back. John Calipari has won championship with the best talent year in, year out, year in and year out in college basketball. He's won title. One. 347-215-6180. If you call him up, we'll be right back on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joel Quinn. Less than 30 minutes away from the national championship, Alabama-Clemson. Clemson looking for its first title since 1981, and for that, and for a 15-0 season, which has never been done in the history of college football. Alabama looking just to add to its dynasty with 11th championship. It's fourth in 7 years. Alabama again. It's amazing the standard that they held to. Hadn't appeared in a championship game since 2012, and people make it seem like 2012 was 20 years ago. I mean, that's just that's the standard that Alabama's held to. Every year they're expected to either win the national championship or be in a college playoff game every single year. Every year. I mean, it got so bad after last year, you know, coming into that Oklahoma game, coming into the Michigan State game, people were saying that there was pressure on Nick Saban to win because they hadn't won a championship in 3 years. I mean, again, Nick Saban, three championships at Alabama, four overall in terms of his career. And, you know, every year, you know, but they had – Six straight years of 12 or more wins. But there was pressure, so-called pressure, for them to get back to the championship game. And this is not, listen, I've seen, you know, watched the entire 10-year season at Alabama, probably watched more Alabama games than any other team in college football because they're on television seemingly every week. This is not their best team. I would take 2009, 2010, both 11 and 12 teams over this team. As a matter of fact, I would take 11, 12, yeah. I would take both those teams. I would take those four teams over this particular team. Even 2018 was loaded. This is not his best team. Matter of fact, I mean, coming into this year, when we were looking at college football and previewing the SEC, you know, I thought that this could be a year where they could fall off and lose three or four games, to be honest with you. I mean, they lost a ton of talent off last year's team. I mean, you talk about guys like, Amari Cooper and Blake Sims and T.J. Yeldon, just name a few. Landon Collins. I mean, not just NFL players. I'm talking first round draft picks. Collins, Amari Cooper were both first round draft picks. As far as Clemson goes, Clemson, again, trying to separate themselves out of the shadow of Florida State. I remember, because this was a memorable NCAA tournament, and of course what happened against UNLV in the national semifinal. Remember when Duke hadn't won a championship, and it was, you know, it seemed like it was seems like it was a million years ago when Coach K had that thing, you know, had that monkey on his back and couldn't win a big one. You know, had been to a couple of national championship games and lost in the finals. And at that, you know, during that particular time, they were clearly in the shadow of one of North Carolina. North Carolina with Dean Smith had two championships. Had won a couple of championships, had been in a number of Final Fours. Duke needed that signature championship. They beat UNLV, then beat Kansas and Roy Williams. Needed that signature championship to kind of, get out of that Carolina shadow. They did it, and then, they did it and then stamped it the following year and created their own shadow. This is what happened in 92, beating Kentucky and going back-to-back for the first time since the UCLA days. So it's similar to Clemson. I mean, Clemson has been right there with Florida State over the past, 4 or 5 years. Florida State, again, the more glamorous program. Florida State, the more well-known program. Bobby Bowden, the game of the century with Notre Dame back in 93. So Florida State has had, more championship pedigree than Clemson. Clemson wins this game and goes 15-0. They're right there with Florida State as far as saying, hey, no more. There's no more looking down at us. No more, little brother. No, we are equals at this point. We get the same recruits as you get. We can recruit Florida almost as well as you can. I believe right now Clemson is absolutely a top 10 program without question. Again, this will be a game that to me will be decided at the line of scrimmage in the trenches. This is the ultimate trench game, with both of these teams having superior offensive and defensive lines. Both of these teams, defensive lines, can get to the quarterback. Both of them have offensive lines that open gaping holes for their running backs. To me, the difference will be Deshaun Watson. He will absolutely be the difference. Again, I don't know what kind of pro he'll be, because I think he's more of a runner than a passer. But at the college level, that guy is a dominant player. He is dominant this year at the college level. There's no two ways about it. And again, could have been the Heisman Trophy winner. Could have easily been the Heisman Trophy winner. Is the call number. We'll be right back on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. Is a call number in this edition of Trouble in Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joe Quinn. Of course, the NFL divisional round is set. You will have New England, Kansas City starting off at around 4:40 on Saturday or 4:30 on Saturday. You'll have primetime Green Bay, Arizona. Then Sunday, Seattle, Carolina in a rematch. With the exception of Kansas City, New England, all these games will be regular season rematches. And then, of course, the weekend will be capped off Sunday afternoon, early evening with Denver and Pittsburgh. Just saw something in regards to Ben Roethlisberger, his status. Probably, Roethlisberger is going to play unless something crazy happens. Roethlisberger will play. Antonio Brown, not looking good for Antonio Brown. Again, I doubt that he plays with that concussion. Again, that was one of those hits where the guy, he was knocked unconscious. He was out of it. I mean, out of it for a couple minutes. So the way these concussions go, you never know It could be, you know, 2 weeks, 1 week, or 2 months. And these concussions come and go. I mean, these concussions, you know, guys react differently to us for these concussions. So I'd be shocked, borderline shocked, if Antonio Brown played against Denver. Both New England and Denver are set up nicely to advance to the AFC Championship. The Pittsburgh game, that Pittsburgh Cincinnati game was a brutal game. It was a physical, brutal game. How much Pittsburgh has left going to Denver, who knows? And also, yeah, Kansas City, I don't know. And again, that was our brutal game, but at least the complete opposite as far as a physically demanding game against the Houston Texans. But Jeremy Maclin, you know, it's not – you know, they got some good news in regards to it not being an ACL tear, but an ankle – some ankle damage, ankle sprain. So who knows? You know, you must rather be an ankle than an ACL, but – Maclin could be limited if he plays at all. Kansas City, again, not Kansas City. Won 11 straight. New England will be close to being fully healthy as they have been over the course of the last month. They'll have Edelman. They're going to have Edelman back and a couple other guys so that they rested over the course of the last couple weeks, like Devontae Hightower, those types of players back. So, you know, who knows what New England as far as were they playing possum with some of the injuries that they had, were they coasting the last 2 weeks? We'll certainly find out come Saturday afternoon as they take on the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that, you know, look at the NFL. I think that I can make a case for any one of those teams getting to the conference championship. I really can. Really can. I think all eight of those teams are legitimate teams. And you can make a case for, now again, you can certainly make less of a case for the likes of Kansas City and for the likes of Green Bay taking on the Super Bowl favorites in Carolina and Arizona and New England. But a case can be made. Regardless of that, a case can be made. Again, that New England, that Green Bay Arizona game was very interesting. Green Bay did a lot of dancing on the field yesterday, a lot of smiling with Aaron Rodgers. Here, Joe Buck, you know, Rodgers has got a swagger back, and all, you know, heard a lot of, you know, a lot of things about, hey, Green Bay's back. Well, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see. Again, the Redskins defense, you know, people were piling up yards in the Redskins defense. The thing that saved them was the forced turnovers and a great offense. But that defense wasn't stopping anybody the last 4 or 5 weeks as far as yardage goes. They would get 2 or 3 seemingly tiny turnovers and a lot of sacks. That was not the case yesterday. They didn't force a meaningless turnover when the game was over and only got to Aaron Rodgers one time. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of 12-11 Sports Talk featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn. Enjoy the championship, and we'll see you next time. So long.